provided by Thomas Allgaier and Frenes, based on the most relevant LinkedIn posts about venture capital in CW 39 and 40, Frenes specializes in B2B market research for venture capital teams, providing landscape screenings and startup segmentations with a strong focus on the tech space. Welcome back. Our mission for this deep dive is to really synthesize the top venture capital trends we've seen buzzing across LinkedIn over the last two calendar weeks. And, well, if you had to capture the mood, it's definitely execution first.
Absolutely. We're seeing a definite move past just the hype. Mm-hmm. You know, we're digging into the mechanics. Where is the capital actually going? How are founders adapting their strategies? Because this environment is incredibly tight.
Right.
And then there are these structural shifts happening within the whole VC ecosystem itself. And all of this, well, it's happening under the massive shadow of AI. You just can't avoid it.
Okay, let's tackle that shadow first then, because AI dominance, it isn't just another trend, is it? It feels more like a capital concentration event. I mean, bigger than anything we saw with crypto or mobility tech hype cycles.
Oh, it absolutely dwarfs them. It's structural. And the data, well, the data is pretty stunning. If you look at what Saurabh S. and PitchBook shared, it's more than half, 53.2% globally of all VC dollars went into AI startups this year.
Wow, over half globally.
And get this, in the U.S., it's an eye-watering 62.7%. That kind of concentration means, well, every other sector is basically fighting over a shrinking slice of the pie.
And that concentration, it creates this huge friction, right? It's fundamentally reshaping the economics. Carded data confirms this. There's a widening valuation gap. You've got the AI haves and the non-AI have-nots.
Yeah, Peter Walker broke it down. He noted the typical seed to series A step up, you know, the multiple is usually around 2.5x.
Okay, standard enough.
But for non-AI companies, their multiples are actually lower than they were before 2021.
Wait, lower? So even if they're hitting milestones, performing well, the market's pushing them back to like 2018 levels.
Exactly. It sounds like, honestly, existential pressure if you're a founder outside that AI bubble right now.
It really does. Now contrast that with the AI multiples. What are they seeing?
They're seeing 3.5x as a baseline.
Mm-hmm.
And the really hot AI companies, they can command multiples closer to 5x. Mm. We're talking almost back to those crazy 2021 market heights.
So the leverage is definitely there for AI.
It is. VCs see these AI solutions, especially in B2B, as having, you know, built-in defensibility, incredible speed to market. But we have to inject a note of caution here.
Okay.
Francesco Bertuccarari offered a strong counter-narrative. He's warning about potential overvaluation, maybe even trillions evaporating down the line.
Trillions? Why such a stark warning?
Well, he points to this extreme concentration, just 9 U.S. firms controlling half of all VC raised, creating a kind of FOMO-driven gold rush. Plus, concerns about potentially circular revenue models that might not hold up if, you know, the mythical AGI doesn't materialize as promised. That sustainability question is very real.
That whole valuation divergence fueled by both massive opportunity and maybe some fear, It leads us right to the source of the money. How are LPs, the limited partners, viewing all this? How is it shaping where they put their cash?
LP psychology, it seems, has really shifted. It's all about discipline now. They're laser focused on entry pricing, controlled pacing, and they want managers who can really prove a differentiated strategy. It's less about the broad narratives now.
Right. More brass tacks.
Exactly. And with liquidity expectations tightening everywhere, secondaries have become, well, a really practical tool for optimizing portfolios.
And when we look at the actual performance, the cash returns, what's the picture there?
It's a bit mixed, but improving. Chris Harvey and Ruben Dominguez Ibar reported that median IRRs and TVPIs, that's total value to paid in capital, basically your cash on cash return, they're trending up for the earlier vintages.
Okay, like which ones?
The 2017 vintage, for example, hit a median TVPI of 2.0x. So that's signaling healthier returns are starting to come through.
That's positive.
It is. But dry powder overall is thinning out pretty fast. That suggests aggressive deployment, mostly by the mega funds. But here's something fascinating. The European paradox that Pavel Prada highlighted.
The European paradox. Tell me more.
So European VC is actually having its worst year in a decade in terms of total capital, raised about $6.9 billion across 87 funds. Yet, something like a dozen funds just closed in September alone.
Hmm. Okay. So fundraising is down overall, but deals are still closing. Why that contradiction?
Well, the interpretation is that LPs spent the last couple of years concentrating capital with the big established mega brands. Now they're realizing maybe some of those managers struggled with the high entry prices from 2021.
Okay.
So now they seem to be hunting for returns with smaller, perhaps hungrier, more disciplined managers, managers who have dry powder now and the ability to capture potentially better enterprises in today's market.
Makes sense.
Yeah, the median European fund size actually dropped from 66.6 million down to 48.7 million. It feels like a deliberate move by LPs to kind of de-risk and diversify away from that high-cost exposure.
And we're seeing other liquidity mechanisms mature too, right? Like with corporate venture capital.
Definitely. Jörg Lansch noted that 57% of CVCs are either interested in or already using secondaries. For CVCs, that's a really crucial tool, you know, for managing older assets and keeping the portfolio aligned with the parent company strategy.
And beyond CVCs, there's this push for more access, more democratization.
Exactly. Kevin Withane pointed out the London Stock Exchange and Crowdcube partnership. That could potentially open up access for retail investors into later stage private companies.
Which could really reshape liquidity expectations.
Totally. It might allow VCs to recycle capital sooner. It feels like another big step towards private market maturity.
Okay, let's flip the perspective now. Let's talk about the founders, the people actually trying to win a check in this super competitive, execution-focused world. Kritika Verma just laid out the stark reality. Less than 1% of startups actually secure VC funding.
It's brutal. Less than 1%. And the fix, as Sutton Yang and Paul Maj pointed out, isn't just about grit or hustle anymore. It's about process.
Process. Okay.
Yeah.
How so?
Well, Paul Major really emphasized that preparation is like 80% of the success here. He detailed the essential materials, a sharp pitch deck, obviously, but also a robust financial model, a properly researched investor pipeline.
Right. The homework has to be done.
Totally. And Sutton Yang stressed treating fundraising exactly like a BDB sales funnel. You need to build a long list, tier your targets, and critically start pitching your C-list investors first. Get the practice reps in.
Okay, like a dress rehearsal before the main performance. Makes sense. And what about reaching out? Cold emails.
Forget about it. Sophie Shapiro put it really bluntly. Cold outreach to investors is basically founder failure. Warm intros are non-negotiable. They're almost like competency tests. Can you build the relationships needed?
Got it. So assuming you get the meeting, what about ownership? That's always a huge point of negotiation.
It's the ultimate metric, right? Nicole DeTomaso gave some median targets to aim for. Founders should look to own around 56% after their seed round and maybe 36% after Series A.
Okay, benchmarks are helpful.
But interestingly, Alejandro Cremades noted that dilution rates are actually declining in AI-driven companies, especially at later stages. It suggests that AI founders who have traction are managing to command better leverage.
Which brings us nicely to a specific tool for those negotiations, one that helps protect that founder leverage,
The
reverse VC method. Brian Ortiz champions this. I like the sound of it. It feels like a necessary counterbalance.
It really is. You know, the traditional VC method is usually driven entirely by the investor, right? They start with their target IRR, work backward, justify the valuation.
Yeah.
The reverse VC method flips that script. It starts with the founder's specific capital needs and their desired ownership retention. Then you work backward to see if that implied valuation still makes sense for an investor.
So it anchors the negotiation around the founder's needs first.
Exactly. It's a crucial strategy, especially now, to guard against giving up too much equity too early, particularly when the market is hitting non-AI valuations so hard.
Okay, one more tactical tip on the pitching itself. James Hickson shared some pretty startling box end data. VC spend, on average, just 162 seconds reviewing a pre-seed deck.
Wow. 162 seconds.
2 minutes and 42 seconds. It completely changes the game, doesn't it? You basically have those first three slides, maybe four, to land the entire story. The clarity, the credibility, the conviction.
Absolutely. No time for a slow buildup.
Yeah.
And how do you hook them instantly? Leon Eisen has a great recommendation.
Yeah.
Lead with a capital gravity hook.
Capital gravity hook.
Yeah. Basically, immediately associate your story with big money. Start with a market size well over $1 billion right there on slide one. You need to instantly pull the VC's attention into that, you know, big potential return zone.
So all this focus on execution, discipline, the AI concentration, it seems to be leading to a bit of a contraction across the wider ecosystem.
Yeah, Jackie DeMonte pointed out there are roughly half as many active venture firms today compared to 5 years ago.
Half. That's significant.
It is. And that contraction really impacts the non-obvious founders, the earliest stage, maybe non-consensus ideas. Meanwhile, though, on the CVC side, that maturity we talked about, it's driving serious professionalization. Jörg Lansch highlighted this again.
How so, beyond secondaries?
Well, CVCs are focusing heavily on governance, on decision-making speed. They're becoming much more sophisticated portfolio managers. We mentioned the 22% using secondaries. but many are also seriously considering moving off the corporate balance sheet entirely.
To gain more independence from the parent company.
Exactly. Gain independence, maybe attract outside LPs eventually. And, unsurprisingly, AI is dominant there too. 69% of CVCs are now actively targeting AI investments.
Okay, so CVCs are professionalizing. What about the traditional VCs? Any shifts there?
Huge shifts. Suzanne Hahn argues that VCs are evolving into what she calls full-stack platforms.
Mm.
They're increasingly acting more like private equity firms.
How do you mean, like, PE?
Well, more firms are registering as RIAs, Registered Investment Advisors, which brings stricter financial regulation. And they're executing more PE-style buyouts, aiming for control, not just minority stakes.
Interesting. So they're moving away from the classic sort of spray and pray model of early stage investing, less about just writing checks.
Precisely. The focus is shifting towards owning outcomes, really getting involved, demanding control, acting more like operators. It signals capital becoming much more strategic, less purely speculative. It's a move towards institutional maturity. Definitely.
And we're seeing regional markets reflect this maturity too, right? Setting new standards.
Yeah, Maria Mullendorf reported that New York's venture market, for example, now hosts over 100 active VC firms. But the key thing is this growth is paired with a really strong demand for financial discipline from those firms.
High growth, but with discipline.
Exactly. Which, in theory, lowers execution risk. And that dual focus high growth plus operational efficiency that really defines this new execution first era of venture capital we're seeing.
If you enjoyed this deep dive, new episodes drop every 2 weeks. Also, check out our other editions on private equity, M&A, and strategy and consulting.
And maybe a final thought to leave you with. As we see this structural move toward professionalism, toward control, like Suzanne Hahn described, it really does raise a key question. Leslie Feinzeig posed it recently. If VC starts looking and acting more like Wall Street, you know, with large funds chasing consensus AI deals based on discipline, is it still real VC?
Yeah.
She defines real VC as investing in the crazy non-consensus ideas, the ones that seem too early, too weird, maybe too risky for the mainstream. So something to consider as you navigate this rapidly professionalizing market. Thank you for joining us today.